Harbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Today's date is November 24th, 2023, and we are pre-eve of the game. So today is going to be all about those stinky Wolverines from up north, and that's how we're going to deal with it today. So nothing else, just all Michigan.
Nothing else matters.
Yep, this is it. This is for the Big Ten Championship and hopefully winning
Big Ten East Championship. Yeah, Mike,
I meant it's to go to the Big Ten
Championship. Oh, I gotcha. Yes.
Yeah. So this is the Big Ten Championship game is on the line, and hopefully with a win there, a playoff berth. So big game, another big game as just like last year. So basically what we're going to start off with is just kind of quickly go through just all the background stuff that has happened over, you know, everything that's happened on the back half of this second half of this year that, you know, has come from how, you know, maybe we view now this game, how we view the last two games, you know, those losses. What does this mean to, you know, whoever? So let's hit it up there. So basically my thought is that, you know, before everything with the, you know, with all the scandal and stuff like that, you know, obviously Ryan Day needs this game. I mean, I still believe this is very important for Ryan Day just because of just everything, but he really needs this. He would needed it before we knew of the scandal. He still needs it now. What the scandal kind of did for me is like, you know, 2021, I kind of felt like, you know, I rest that completely on our defense that, you know, they just, we cannot catch, make any ground against Michigan just because they were able to hold the ball pretty much the whole second half. And they didn't do much against us. I mean, I don't know what necessarily types of plays that they could have known, not known, all this stuff that really would have helped them in that game, because it's just basic football. Just line up and beat your man. And, you know, they just kept on, you know, moving the chains and always staying in front of us on the scoreboard. Last year, I have a much different outlook after knowing everything. So it doesn't take anything away that the defense was too aggressive in parts and they gave up some stupid touchdowns throughout the game. But when you look at our team and only being able to score three in the second half, and then you go on and Georgia has a much more competent, I mean, the players on Georgia's defense, plus the defensive coaching staff at Georgia, and we had no problem moving the ball against Georgia. And TCU then had no problem moving the ball against Michigan. Yeah. And then Georgia had no problem completely shutting down TCU. So, and you could say, well, you can't take one thing and go to the next thing. And that's fair. I've said that point before, but it just is weird now. Like, we only going to score 3 points and a half. And you're going to tell me that knowing where the ball is going at all times doesn't give you some sort of advantage. I call that BS. So that makes me, especially with last year's game, really have a different viewpoint on how I feel about that game. Now, that doesn't mean I still don't think Ryan Day absolutely needs us. You know, with Harbaugh suspension, I think he really needs us. Yeah. Because now, and you know, there might still be some residual things that they kind of know, maybe some things still and stuff. I'm sure Ohio State has changed a lot. Ohio State's got a thought process going into this game, how they're going to attack that situation. But still, you're playing an interim coach, everything over what happened the last couple of years. And Harbaugh or no Harbaugh, this is Ryan Day's chance to really put an exclamation point on this, being like, you know what? You would have never have done this. You might have got us one of the 2 years. You would have never did it to us both years if you didn't know everything that was going on. And I think that's what's on the line in this game.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I mean, 2021, just kind of like how you said, I felt like it was just kind of destined to happen. You know, one, they did push us around in the second half, but two, we had won 8 games in a row. They, you know, they canceled the 2020 game, kind of gave themselves a reset. And what that did, that eliminated a bunch of Ohio State players that had success and won in the series. And actually, you know, played pivotal roles in other games. Now, of course, you still had Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave coming back, but it was totally new for CJ Stroud. Stroud played a great game. I've mentioned to you, you know, off camera many times, like, I don't remember a team that CJ held CJ to so many empty yards as Michigan did in that game, especially, but the next year as well. 22 was a lot weirder. I mean, I think Ryan Day gave up on the run too early in both games. So hopefully, you know, we don't see that in this one, but it is something that is just, you know, I don't want to say you take everything with a grain of salt, because I'm not going to like just say they cheated their asses off and that's why they won these games. Like, I think they are a really good team. They were a really good team those 2 years. I give them 21, 22. I mean, yeah, it's very possible. Like, he's at 3 points though in one half for CJ Stroud, Marvin Harrison, Emeka Egbuka. I know Cade Stover wasn't his healthiest and our run game wasn't the healthiest, and we went away from Chip, didn't get Dallin Hayden into the game. It still doesn't seem right though, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot on this game, man. Like you said, you can't lose to Schroen Moore. I mean, your losses are to Jim Harbaugh, Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney, and then Mario Cristobal got you one time. Like, you can't lose to Schroen Moore. Like, you got to be able to beat this guy. And not that Ryan Day's getting fired. Ryan Day's not getting fired. Ryan Day's not on the hot seat if he loses this game. I don't care what anybody says. That's not factual. Nor should he be. But
no,
you got to look at it like, man, you got to get yourself over the hump here, which, to his credit, though, I think Ryan Day finally hates Michigan more than the entire Ohio State fan base hates Michigan. So that's the right path for him. Hopefully that doesn't cloud, you know, who he is as a play caller, because he just wants to pummel those guys. He hates Michigan. He hates Jim Harbaugh. They hate each other. And this game people say, you know, is this bigger than 06? I don't believe so, because 06 was a birth in the national title game. Whereas this is a birth in the Big Ten championship game. But what this does have is just the emotions going in this game. Or, I mean, I don't even know how much you can magnify it from 2006.
Different emotions. Like, there was a lot of emotions going in that game.
And Bo had just passed away. Yeah.
Bo passed really added some emotion to it, but it sombered it down a little bit. And then the game's great. I mean, Michigan goes right down and scores. Ohio State answers, and Ohio State puts up a barrage of points. You know, Michigan pulls back into it in the second half. Ohio State ends the game, you know, with some key touchdowns by Pittman. And then I believe is it Rubisky that gets the last one from Troy Smith? I don't remember I can't remember if it's Hall or Rubisky, but
does Hall get a second one? Because Hall gets the first one, right?
Okay, he gets one in this first half. I think it might be Rubisky in this. I don't remember. That's just been now so long ago. But, you know, Troy Smith gets he hits a touchdown that just continues to put it just a little bit out of the way. And then obviously Pittman gets the big first down on the last drive to end the game. It's just different. It was a very, very just really good game. It proved that those were the two best teams at that point in the country. This is a very different. I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, you saw the Michigan fans storm the field last week in Maryland, the ones that were there, because the emotions that are in this game, like, there's going to be chippiness everywhere. There's going to be chippiness in the stands. There's going to be chippiness, you know, on the field. There's going to be chippiness between the coaches. Probably a good thing Harbaugh's not there, because I don't know if that would turn into some sort of
festival. Yeah.
And I don't want to see anybody go to blows, because there's more games in this thing, but it's like, I'm kind of guarding against it just because there's a lot there, you know. Hell, there's going to be emotions between the two beat the staffs. I mean, have you seen, if anybody that's on Twitter a lot, I mean, the beat reporters from both like staffs and stuff have been taking shots at each other. So this is wild, and they all share a press box.
Yeah. And everyone has something to prove. They're both playing. Both teams are playing for their head coaches. Both teams are, you know, Michigan's out there trying to vindicate what they've done the last 2 years and say, you know, this isn't just because of cheating and we could do it again. Ohio State's got to prove that it was just because of cheating and they should have never lost those other two games. It's just, I mean, it's wild. And like you said, emotions are going to be super high. It's going to be chippy. I hope nobody gets kicked out of the game. I'm kind of betting we are going to get a couple ejections though from this one. So it's, It's going to be madness. And I was listening to the podcast earlier. They had the itinerary for the game and you know how they said how they're going to try to like manage the tunnel situation to keep it safe. Like Michigan's taking the field a whole 90 seconds before Ohio State. Like Ohio State's not going to be right behind them in that tunnel. And they're going to be starting crap, you know, as soon as right before kickoff. So
yeah,
it's going to be wild. I think halftime, you're going to see the same crap you always see in Michigan. There's going to be a tunnel scuffle, and hopefully there's nothing at the end of the game like you saw against Michigan State, but we don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of interesting stuff going there. So, you know, that's a quick rundown, just the background. Yeah, this is very important for Ryan Day, in my opinion. It's, I mean, and then, you know, if Michigan beats them, that's they get the ultimate. Even if Jim Harbaugh ends up not coaching there anymore after this season, that's the ultimate, you know, gotcha, you know,
yeah,
you got me. And that's going to just, you know, reinvent all their talking points at the Michigan, reiterate their talking points that the Michigan fan base has had over, you know, the last how many weeks when, you know, now they get to come out and say, you know, well, you're the one that started this investigation, Ohio State, and you got Jim Harbaugh suspended and you still can't beat us. So that is what's on Ryan Day's shoulders right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, let's move into the actual game. So Ohio State. So we'll break this down offensively and then defensively and just where we think that, you know, what does Ohio State need to do on both sides of the ball to win this game? So off to you offensively. Why don't you get us started? Just your thoughts about like, what does the Buckeyes need to do with the ball?
Run successfully first. I've been on the Trey Henderson train for weeks now. I mean, I do think he could be the ultimate X factor this game. And that sounds crazy to say about Trey, but if he gets blocking, I mean, Trey is just a different beast right now. And that guy, even at the second level, and it depends what Michigan's going to try to do. I mean, if they're going to play two high safeties, if Trey can get, you know, past the line of scrimmage, they're going to give him yards all day. If they're blitzing more, though, you know, that's going to create different challenges. You might have to get him involved in the pass game, which Trey is great at that also. So I just think that he could be an ultimate X factor. So offensively, you know, get the ball to your playmakers, find a way like Marv, you know, you got a scheme for him to get open. You got to scheme matchups for him. Do your end arounds with him, pop passes, whatever. You got to get the ball in his hands to set up stuff for other players. If not anything else, if not getting Marv his own touchdowns, that sets up plays for other players. Yeah. Keep it a quick game. You know, don't make McCord step back there and break down the defense, you know, and wait for the open receiver. Just have something drawn up so someone can get quick. And this plays for Cade. This plays for Marv. This plays for Emeka. And try to get those guys open as quickly as possible. And don't, you got to limit mistakes, you know.
Yeah.
Keep McCord upright, keep him safe. Don't put a lot of pressure. Don't let a lot of pressure get in his face. Cause this is like, I want to say collectively Notre Dame is on the same level and Penn State same level as cornerbacks is what you're going to face with Michigan. These guys are ball hawks though. Like these are the best at actually taking the ball away that Ohio State and McCord are going to play this year. So
yeah,
limit mistakes, limit opportunities for mistakes for McCord. Get the ball to your playmakers, especially Marv, but you know, let Trey go off.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's pretty much my thought process, the whole thing. So definitely get Trey in this game early and often, especially if they're going to give it to you. If they're nervous about Marv and stuff like that, and they're keeping safeties back, well, then you got to take that stuff. And have some ideas of quick throwing plays that, hey, if they do bring blitzes, we can go to that. They got to get, so that you use the quick passing and you use Trey's abilities to get McCord into the game. So McCord, especially, I agree with you. Let's get some quick things going, especially early in the game. McCord, once he starts warming up, he really, I think, does pretty well getting into the game, but he needs that warm up period. You cannot take a big barrage from them early in the game as McCord, as you know, as we've seen all year, he takes a minute to get going in the game. So you got to use, you got to scheme up some good offensive pass plays and you got to get Trey the ball early and often and, you know, get McCord comfortable in the game. If they can, if Ohio State can handle any early barrages and possibly even get a lead, you know, then we're fine. Cause then I think once McCord really starts getting comfortable, he is pretty good. Yeah. And like he can, he, you know, he hits his receivers pretty well. Is it though? Is it the greatest thing in the world compared to the last couple guys we've had? No, but you know, we don't need him to be that. We need him just to be what he is without, you know, the turnovers. He's been pretty good this year without getting the turnovers, but he does get, and the opportunities that he has had him, he gets a little lackadaisical. So you got to kind of, you know, he needs to have, it needs to be beat into his head. He needs to have a timer on his head and be like, you know what? You need to learn how to throw appropriate, offensive grounding or whatever. You need to throw it long. You know, if you're getting blitzed, you got to throw it really long. And, you know, those don't usually get caught, or, you know, get outside the pocket and throw it out of bounds past the first down marker. He needs to learn. He does need to learn to live another down. And especially with this defense, which we'll get to in a minute, you know, don't start making them have a mountain, you know, to, you know, get back into the game, you know? So that's what I would say. I agree with everything you said. I think that they need to really get the running game going and get Marv going the best as possible. And those different things with, like you said, those different things that they do with Marv, that gets a lot of guys open. What are they going to do with some of those orbit motions? What are they going to do off that pop pass? You know, Ryan Day has been very good his whole career, but especially this year, that he is really building plays off plays that they used. And I mean, that orbit motion we've seen, I don't know, like probably it feels like 5-6 different plays off.
Where they run that and counter off of it. Yeah.
So it's like, it's pretty interesting. And so what is the wrinkle that they're going to add to that? You know, they started getting Ibuka more involved in those pop passes last week. And you know, he looked really good. What wrinkle are they going to throw off of that? Are they going to try to throw, is Cade going to release and they're going to fake it? You know, that's something I kind of mentioned. I could see that happening, you know, where maybe they're in the red zone at the 20, 15, and they run that pop pass and, you know, Cade sneaks in behind the safeties and you go throw it for a touchdown. And like, so like, what are they going to do? And so I expect them to try different things. I expect I do expect a couple, maybe tricks here and there. And Ryan Day, if you're going to run some tricks this year, don't do it on special teams. Run it on your offense. You know, that's where you are the play caller and come up with some creative stuff. If you got to throw a little trick here and there, you know, it is what it is. Like, I'm not saying do Rutgers trick plays, but, you know, try some different things that they have never seen before. So, agree with wholeheartedly with what you said. All right, defensively. So, why don't you take us off and then I'll add into that one with that.
I mean, this one's going to be much more simple for me. I think Michigan has to beat you with the run. Don't let them beat you with the run. And I know the results of last year, you kind of got to go in the same mindset as last year.
Yeah.
You got to make you got to make JJ McCarthy beat you again with his arm. See if he can do it 2 years in a row. Secondary, I think, is much better than last year, even with the loss of Ransom, which that hurts. I mean, there's no way to, you know, undersell that or however would be appropriate there. There's no way to sugarcoat that. I mean, losing Ransom hurts in this game. I think Hancock and Sonny Styles are great athletes, though, that are great against the run. Hancock's much better than, you know, Tanner McAllister. No offense to him that was playing that position last year. Iggy, I don't see Cornelius Johnson beating Iggy on the sideline like he beat Cam Brown. I think Denzel Burke's playing the best ball of his career. So I just think that's the mindset you got to go. You can't let them beat you on with the run. You got to make them throw the ball and be smarter than what you were last year. But that's kind of the blueprint again.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% of that. The way I was going to phrase it is that the things that they beat you the last two years, you can't let happen. Mm-hmm. So they do need to kind of turn Michigan into one dimensional. And that is at first running the ball. And you just cannot let them establish it so much. Like you just got to come up with some good, I think they'll keep some guys in the box and stuff. I think they trust their secondary. And then when McCarthy goes back to pass, you got to make the tackles in the secondary. And the one thing that kind of makes me nervous, and I know we've been good the whole year, is that I don't want the secondary to come in a little too amped up. and, you know, try to necessarily jump routes early in the game. Like, just get them down at first, let that stuff work its way out as the game goes on. But I think if they can, you know, if they can match up with the running game well, and, you know, and then keep McCarthy kind of, the way you got to pressure him, when you pressure him, you got to try to keep him in the pocket. He's not good when he's in the pocket. Like, when he can get, when he can get loose and start scrambling and start freelancing, he can find the open guy. I mean, he's good like that. And so I think that Ohio State needs to really, when they come after him, they really need to keep him in the pocket. And, you know, and I've said it before, hit him a few times. I mean, let him feel it a little bit. And, you know, and just when, if they catch a pass, tackle them and get it down. You know, don't necessarily be looking to the jump routes. I think some of that stuff will come as the game goes. And, you know, so yeah, I'm in agreement with you on that one. Make them one dimension. They got to be trying to keep them one dimensional as the game goes. Early in the game, that is them keeping them trying to run the ball, not giving them opportunities to run the ball. And then if your offense can get some points, then the one dimensional happens on the other side. You get up by somehow by 10 plus points. Then you go at McCarthy and you, you know, you try to force him into making mistakes and stuff like that. And you just got to play a complimentary game between both Ryan Day and Jim Knowles.
Yeah, no, I agree.
All right. Next up for business. All right. So let's hit areas of vantage, areas of concern. So, you know,
okay. So just do one and then do the next.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you thinking?
Advantage, I want to say Ryan Day. You touched on it. He's been in his bag this year. There's no other way to say it. I mean, starting the second half of that Maryland game, he is called a pretty masterful offensive game plan throughout the year, and it's been very complimentary. Pass to run has been building off of things from the week prior, and it just puts a ton of stuff on film for people to watch. And he's, you know, done what he's done in the past, where he's used certain skill guys to run defenders off the ball and put guys, you know, coming underneath them on the route to give him a wide open field. I mean, he's done a lot of things. I think that's the advantage, is Ryan Day and our skill players. And I think, you know, especially I think over the middle with like a Trey Henderson on a short pass or a Cade Stover, I think those are areas we can exploit them. I don't think their linebackers are great in coverage. On the other side of the ball, our advantage is, I'm not going to say Ohio State has better defensive ends or secondary than Penn State, but I do believe this is the most comparable that they have. And I don't think our ends freelance as much as what Penn State does, where they're just going to blow up the field. They take on tackles head on. They're stronger, or, you know, they're very strong that they can push tackles back into the quarterback's lap to shrink the pocket. And I think they're going to see a lot of that. And I think it's going to put JJ in a lot of conflict in this game. And I think it's going to be hard for him. And I'm not sure that they're going to be able to pick apart our secondary, because I think we have a great secondary. I mean, we have the best passing yardage against in the country this year. That's not deniable. Michigan's too. So, I mean, it's going to be hard on the other side as well. So I think, you know, our skill guys are just better on both sides of the ball, and that we got a for real defense this year. I think that's where our advantages are. And I'm not sure Michigan though. I mean, they do, as far as like yards per attempt, they do have the highest yards per attempt on pass in the Big Ten. So, I mean, that is something to watch for, because even though Ohio State throws for like 280 game, Michigan throws for like 220, Michigan throws for first downs. So it is something, you know, you got to watch for, got to be ready for. Outside concerns, so, I mean, my concerns, it's kind of like layered in three parts. So special teams, I'm scared just special teams. And, you know, one of the snafus we've seen recently is Jaden Ballard refusing to field balls that end up getting down within the 5 yard line. Number two is interior protection of Kyle McCord, or just protection of Kyle McCord regardless. And then number three is Kyle McCord's decision making while he's getting pressure, because I think they could blitz, or I think they can get in his face with those big D tackles, whether it be a stunt, whether it just be right up the middle of Hinsman. And, you know, it kind of scares me within the 5 yard line if he's going to make an intentional grounding while he's standing in the end zone or something like that. So, yeah. I mean, that's my biggest concerns is just those three phases. And I think ultimately they can work together to make something, you know, disastrous happen.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with my advantages. So I definitely, I'll go a little differently, even though I do agree with you that Ryan Day is a huge, like he's a big advantage, his abilities here. You know, the last couple of years, we've not come in healthy with the running the ball and we're coming in healthy running the ball. And I know Mayan's out and stuff like that, but you know, obviously Dallin is available, Chip's there, and you got Trey. And I think I would love to take, you know, I'm okay with taking, Trey, Dallin, and Chip into any contest that we need to run the ball. Next, I think that when you say we're 1-2 with the pass, you know, attempts and stuff like that, you said it was yards per attempt, right?
Yeah, we're 1-2. Well, we're 1-2 with yards per attempt, but we're also 1-2 defensive, like yards per game throwing the ball. Like we're the best, they're second best.
Yeah, so that's the difference. I will say on that is I think Michigan's passing game is exactly the same as they were last year. Let's be serious about those touchdowns last year. There is a legitimate mistake on a defensive player on every single one of those that allows one of those to happen. Michigan, they're not good at explosive plays at all.
No, they're not.
And Ohio State still has that ability. Even with Kyle McCord, I know a lot of people like, well, he's not CJ Stroud. He's not Fields. All granted, but he still has the ability to have explosive plays. Ohio State has had pretty much an explosive play or two in almost every game this year. So, I don't think Michigan has played an offense that can really stress their secondary. Probably the best that they've played is Maryland on when you think about passing, and Maryland had things.
The Maryland spotted them, you know, they went up 3-0 and then spotted them the next 20 or something like that.
Yeah. So Maryland, I think, did some stuff to them that I think Ohio State does a lot better throwing the ball. So that's one thing. I don't think Michigan has seen, just like the last few years, I don't think that they've seen on a passing attack like ours. And I think Ohio State can exploit that. And then I think when you consider that we're healthy at running back, that is something to exploit too. And then on the other side of the ball, it's just defensively, you know, I think that, you know, our defensive line is kind of starting to feel like they're playing up to, you know, the standards that LJ had for several years here, that it's kind of seemed like it's fallen off a little bit over the last couple of years. It seems like a lot of that is back. And I really think that especially the second half of this season, the defensive line's playing really good. Mm-hmm. And like, Sawyer's playing really good. JT is playing really good. You know, they're getting, you know, Curry and Kenyatta in the game, and they're causing havoc. And the defensive tackles, I mean, I could easily argue this has been the best group of defensive tackles that they've had in a long time. Like, they're all looking really good, from Mike Hall to obviously Tyleek to even Hamilton has really come gangbusters over the last.
Well, Hamilton's a dirty work kind of guy. You know, he takes on two blockers.
Feels like his brother.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a great comp. It's his brother. Yeah, I mean, I think Davon had a little bit more in the pass rushing his last year at Ohio State, but that's what he's just a big, strong dude. He takes on stuff.
And Canoe's making plays. I mean, they're getting guys in there, and it's like you like what they're doing. Some of this stuff, and so I really like
Hero's going to be a game wrecker next year. I mean, he's still a little. He's probably still an off season away, but he's getting it.
Yeah. So I definitely think that is definitely an advantage for them with the defensive line, and then the secondary. I just think the secondary is a much better ball playing tackling secondary than we were the last year.
Yeah.
And that's where so many of the issues happen. And I know everybody points out, well, the defense was fine last year until they played Michigan and until they played Georgia. I will grant that, but there were some issues throughout the season against
Maryland,
Toledo. I mean, the secondary gave up big hits throughout the season last year. and they're not giving those big hits up this year. So, you know, I think that this is a very, even with Ransom out, this is with Proctor back, I think the secondary is fine. And they is an advantage that Michigan, because I don't think Michigan, again, they're not explosive enough to really exploit them. They might get catches. The point is not allowing those catches to turn into touchdowns.
And anything happens in this game, so we're not saying it can't.
Yeah, so that's where it comes down to. And I think Ohio State just has the advantage at that. You know, yeah, Igbinosin gives up catches. He makes tackles as soon as, like, he's not afraid to coming up and he's, you know, like that, and that ticked me off last year with Cam Brown. It was like, he was like, not only was he off, and then when he came up to make the hit, he was like, kind of like pushing him.
And
like
all you had to,
pushing it.
You just had to ride the guy out of bounds.
Yeah. Like Igbinosa's not going to even ride the guy out of bounds. He's just going to hit him and like knock him down. Like, so, no, that's just stuff. I think that is way different. My concerns, again, very similar to you, the special teams is my biggest concern. I know we didn't talk about it a lot a couple of days ago, but I think that is in a game like this where intangibles matter, that is the one that's scaring me the most. I think that, you know, if this game is very close to the vest throughout the whole game, this is a game where a muff punt or a blocked punt or, you know, a kickoff return or a punt return, whatever, could beat you, like really come down to beat you. And so that really makes me nervous that there's just, there've been some stupidities. And it does the punter or the up man, do they get the wrong call again or bad communication as Ryan Day calls it and thinks that it's a fake when it wasn't a fake. And so, yeah, there's things there that really, really worry me. The defensive tackles definitely worry me. I will say my biggest concerns are on both sides of the ball with the kind of the middle of the defense. So, you know, are our linebackers ready to come up and make the big hits against Michigan's running backs? And can our offensive line handle their defensive tackles? I think if, you know, we're going to lose some of those battles and we're going to win some of those battles. If we win the majority of those battles where, you know, we keep McCord clean from those defensive tackles and other blitzers, and if the linebackers don't let Corum and don't let, and those safeties too, the middle of the field, if the linebackers don't let Corum and Edwards get loose with one, or slowly drive the field on you. Like, again, you're going to lose some of those, but if you can win the majority of them and not give up a big play, then I think we're fine when you take our advantages into the thing. But that's where my concerns are. It's, you know, their defensive tackles and our run defense, and then special teams is the big one.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, special teams, I'm just, even with, if you take the ball out of Kyle's hands, like if the ball's within the 5 yard line, I mean, I just don't know even if you can get the necessary yards to flip the field at that point. And that's a spot you don't want to be living on Michigan starting at the 50 yard line every, or, you know, above the 50 yard line every series either. So, I mean, if that stuff happens, it could get kind of weird, but hopefully it doesn't, you know, and I'm not saying it will. I just, you don't want that to happen.
Yeah. All right. Let's go with our players of the game. So who do you think will be the offensive player of the game?
Trey Henderson. I mean, I think it'll be like Henderson's 1A, Marv's 1B type deal. Like, I think they both will have big games and be a big role. We've seen this in Ann Arbor though, when our backs play their final game up there, like our big time, you know, cowbell, that dude plays his final Ann Arbor game and he goes over 200 yards. I don't know if Trey can do that rushing, but I think he can do that rushing and receiving that he can have somewhere over that benchmark. And I just think even if it's not over 200, I think he's just going to be the most important factor in this offensive game plan. So Trey's who I got.
Yeah. I mean, that's who I was leaning to, but I'll be a little different. I'll say Marv. My thing on Trey is I think Trey is the biggest X factor in the game. Him coming in this game healthy and what he can do both running the ball and receiving is a big deal. And they just need to keep letting him get the ball. Regardless, he needs to get the touches at least 20 times in this game. And, you know, that just isn't going to be running the ball. Like, you know, get him some passes, whether that's passes that are meant for him to begin with, he's the main he's the primary option, or, you know, these are safety valve options. Like, you know, if Kyle doesn't have anybody open and Trey's off to the side, well, that's probably a guaranteed 10 yards. Go give it to Trey, you know, and get your first down. Mm-hmm. And I think that, so that I would say that on Trey. Marv, I'll just go with Marv again. I was thinking 1A, 1B, 2. Just get the dude the ball, man. Let him have a big game. And I think that if he has a big game and they're running the ball good, then I don't see how Michigan could possibly beat them in those type of situations. That you get, let him go out there. And, you know, there's always talks about, can Marv win the Heisman? He needs to have a big one in this game. And the part of the way they get him a big one is, yeah, you got to move him around a lot. He's got to be kind of like Devontae Smith out there. You know, even maybe, well, I mean, I'm not saying it, but who knows? Maybe even Marv will line up in the backfield here and there. Who knows how they'll do some of this stuff. And I think they're going to have some wild things planned for him.
I think
because,
so.
You know, obviously he's just such a difference maker when he gets the ball. So yeah, Marv will be the player of the game. Defensively, who you have?
I'm going to say Jordan Hancock. I think he's been the most, and you know, if Michigan's able to get eight linemen on the field, I don't know how much Jordan Hancock even plays in this game, you know, but I just have faith. The guy stops the run. He's probably going to have a lot of duties on Roman Wilson. You know, if Roman Wilson's healthy, I mean, I know he left and he was probably in concussion protocol. So let's see if he plays, but, he's going to have to, you know, lock him down. And I think he's up to the task. He's the best one we've had in the slot since Sean Wade. So I really believe in Jordan Hancock, and I believe in the toughness of the secondary. I had like three or four guys I was bouncing between, but I think it's got to be a Jordan Hancock game. I think he can do it.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. The thing with that is if he gives up a catch to Roman Wilson, his safeties, you got to be there to make the tackle. And like Roman Wilson's going to get some catches. Their guys are going to get some catches. Again, like I said just a few minutes ago, it's not about them giving up the catches necessarily. It's just being there not to turn those catches into touchdowns or big gains. Like just tackle them. You got to be there to tackle somebody. Yeah, I've been kind of bouncing back and forth too, but I think this is, I'm going with JT, man. I think that they need to, yep, right there. He needs to, I'm even against the Michigan's big left tackle. Their tackles aren't as good as they are in your past. They're better in the interior.
Yeah.
You know, there's opportunities there. And, you know, and I think in the second half of that Penn State Michigan game, Manny Diaz just got away too, He should have been saving some of those blitzes to try to stop them from holding onto the ball so much. And part of that's also the fact that Penn State couldn't do crap on offense. And, you know, that will not be this. Ohio State can do things on offense. So I think move JT around some, you know, let him on both sides. Like they've kind of started doing down the stretch. They letting him take a little bit more against both tackles. And I would love to see him get some opportunities on that right tackle, because I think there's things there. And I think, you know, I see JT having that. I'm not going to say he necessarily has the turnovers like he did against Penn State last year, but to me, this feels like a game where he's going to show up like he did against Penn State in both years. Yeah. And he's going to make some big plays. He's going to have a couple sacks in this game. And I think that's how what I feel. I just think he's just going to be the difference maker, and he's going to disrupt a lot of things. And if they could start getting JJ down without having to bring the blitzes, then I don't know.
That's bad.
They are going to bring the blitzes at times. And, you know, Knowles has gotten much more comfortable in when he's calling those blitzes, but I think that they could really shut him down big time with JT and the other guys on the defensive line. But I think it's his game this year. This is the one where, you know, I think this could really vault him too, even like into one of the top defensive ends going into the draft because of, you know, what he shows up and how he shows up in big games.
Yeah. And just before moving on, you know, anyone that thinks, and I know we've been leaky at times on our defense, but anyone that's scared that this game could look like 21, and this might be famous last words. I mean, same building, you know, Sharon Moore is going to want to run the ball. He's going to put his eight linemen on the field at different times. Jack Sawyer and JT as a collective are probably, you know, bigger and stronger than Zach Harrison and Tyreek Smith were. The tackles are, you know, stronger, better than what that defense was. Tommy Eichenberg, Cody Simon, Steel Chambers are all older, more seasoned. I mean, I think they've all had their issues in run games before, but I think they've all stood out and been very strong stopping the run at different times. My biggest X factor, though, secondary, I mean, Jordan Hancock will come up and hit you better than, you know, Marcus Williamson that year. Your quarterbacks, I mean, Denzel's a much better run stopper. Iggy certainly is better than, you know, Cam Brown, but there's no Bryson Shaw back there, man. Sonny Styles and Josh Proctor are coming to hit people. And, yeah, you know, you didn't have Josh in 21. He broke his leg. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think Josh is good. You know, I don't think he's important enough to stop what they did run on you, but he stopped. He wouldn't, you know, limited some of that. So it's going to be a hard game all the way. Yeah. And I just don't see how it could turn into 21. So I think you really got to make it go into JJ's hands. I mean, that's got to be crucial, is like, make them throw on you like you tried last year.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with a lot of that. They just need to, you know, that defense just needs to, they just need to come to play and play within themselves.
Be who you are. Exactly.
And, you know, yeah. And the great thing about the 8 offensive linemen that they bring in, or whatever, 7, 8 offensive linemen, those aren't tight ends. Those aren't receivers. So, you know, you have to actually do, you have to do substitutions to get those guys in. So Jim Knowles will have a he'll have a package for it. And like, and he's going to go big too. And it might be, you know, it might be a couple more extra linebackers and a few extra defensive linemen. Who knows? Like, he'll be ready for that stuff, because you'll see it. And it's not like they can move offensive linemen out to play receivers. They can't do a bunch of hybrid roles.
Right.
So like, it's, you know, like, so he'll be ready for that stuff. So like, agreed. I'm not too nervous necessarily right now about that. You know, I could be different tomorrow once it actually starts happening. But I think that, you know, he will have some ideas of how he wants to attack that when they go with it. All right. Score predictions.
The one that matters, man. So tomorrow noon, I think Michigan's, I'm not even looking at it. I think they're still a 3.5 point favorite though. Yeah, at home.
Like that.
I've battled in my head with this one because I don't see it being a blowout. I really don't. I don't see it just being some absurdly high scoring game, because neither team's given up high, you know, high outputs to the other offense all year. I think Ohio State has better players. I think they're pissed off. They're angry. And I'm sure Michigan is too. I think you got to get the ball and make JJ beat you. I'm not sure he can. I think our secondary hasn't given me any reason to doubt them this year. So I have a 21-20 Ohio State on the road. I mean, it's going to be the thinnest of margins, but last year when I had them beating Georgia by 1 point, I'm not sure I actually believed it. And it ended up being a 1 point game. Like, I believe Ohio State's the better team in this game. I believe Ryan Day's at the right now, the peak of his offensive coaching and play calling at Ohio State. And, you know, maybe our lines can be a weakness, but I just think from what I've seen this year, I haven't seen enough breakdowns from Ohio State to make me believe that they can't win this game. So, long-winded way to say it, I think the Buckeyes pull it out, but I think it's going to be a very close game. So I have a 21-20.
So I've been battling back and forth too, because I have went into situations where I'm like, I don't think it's going to be like the last 2 years for Michigan. And like in last year, let's face it, a lot gets skewed based off those last 2 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
I don't see it like that. And I don't see them pushing us around like they did 2 years ago. But I have been back and forth. Like, I've been at spots this week where I've thought like, man, if Ohio State, if they could get off by they could really put the dagger in.
Oh, yeah.
And it could be like a, maybe not necessarily a 2019 game, but it could be more along those lines than what you think. And then I've been kind of where you're at, like, this is going to be a tight game. This could be like the Notre Dame game, or, you know, whatever. I'm kind of falling in the middle. So I'm going to say, I kind of feel like this is going to kind of be like the Ohio State Penn State game. I think the Ohio State was better than Penn State. I think Ohio State is better than Michigan. And I think they've proven it this year. Mm-hmm. And as long as they don't let something stupid happen in the intangibles, I think they should win fairly comfortably. I think Ohio State's going to get four scores. I didn't know where those four scores were going to be, mix of touchdowns and field goals.
Yeah.
And I'm going with all touchdowns. So I have a 28-19 that I think Ohio State wins fairly comfortably in this game. And, you know, I think Michigan is going to move the ball some, but I think that's going to be where the difference between field goals and touchdowns are going to happen. A lot gets made on Ohio or Michigan's red zone defense. Ohio State's red zone defense has been damn impressive this year. Mm-hmm. And I think that when they buckle down and when they have to make stops, they make stops. And I can see Sherrone Moore making a mistake somewhere in this game where he should maybe kick a field goal and decides to go for it and misses it, or should go for it, or go for it, but he decides to kick a field goal and gets too conservative. I can see him going either going too aggressive in a spot or going too conservative in a spot, and like somewhere where he just does not have the feel of the game. And I think that's where, yep, 28-19 Ohio State.
All right. I like it. I got nothing else to say. Now we just, You just got to get to noon tomorrow, kick the ball off and play the game. I'm impressed. We kept it much cleaner this year than the last two Michigan games, I'm pretty sure. So yeah. If you want to send us off with an F Michigan, you feel comfortable to do so, but I agree. So thank you everyone for coming out to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO. Go Buckeyes.
Go Buckeyes. Beat Michigan.
Yep.